Welcome to the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my word. Remember how I said this course of Abijah served typically in early July? And that some of the scholars got together when they knew that the historians, when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, they plotted back the 24 courses, and in 3 BC, the course of Abijah finished their course on the 13th of July. Write in your notes somewhere, July 13th, 3 BC. Now, what do you suppose he did when he finished his course and he went home to mama? We'll look at verse 23. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed from his house and stopped by and got a Barry White album. And now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Conceivably, July 13th, 3 BC. She hid herself for 5 months. You know, imagine her being advanced in age and, Elizabeth, how you doing? I'm a little pregnant. Before she started showing, they might have thought she was what? Looney Tunes. So she hid herself for 5 months. Let's go to verse 26. Now in the sixth month, this is Elizabeth's sixth month, the beginning of her sixth month. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, same fellow, was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth. Uh-oh, what's he going to do? Telegram. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, we already know about Joseph. His bloodline is tainted. Hers is not. The virgin's name was Mary. Write in your margin, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." If you're not Jewish, you might miss the significance of this statement. The blessedness of women is a jargon word, a colloquialism for the mother of the Messiah. She is well taught. She knows. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered, what manner of greeting was this? Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus." Jehovah saves. "And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." This is the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3. The seed of the woman. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Her saying this is not in doubt. She's basically saying, "I know you're going to do this, but how are you going to do this?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One," one of the titles of Messiah, "who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative," they're related somehow. Elizabeth, who is much older, is related. "Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son," in a more conventional method, "in her old age, and this is now the sixth month," the beginning of the sixth month, "for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Verse 38, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of your Lord, let it be according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now watch this, verse 39. "Now Mary arose in those days," what days? "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and went to the hill country with haste to a city in Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe, who is how old now in her womb? 6 months, leaped in her womb. And I've got to add this. This is an unborn child with a ministry. Amen? There are people that try to say they're just tissue. Here is a pre-born baby that is used by God to minister. Leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. When did Mary receive Gabriel telling her that she was pregnant? In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Check this out. First slide. Here we go. The Jews' entire culture revolved around these 7 feasts that are described and detailed in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. They are also prophetic. When the blood of the lamb was daubed onto the doorpost and the lintel of the people there in captivity in Egypt, and the angel of death would see the blood of the and pass over. And they celebrated that every year since. What day was Jesus crucified on? The Passover, the blood of the Lamb. Do you see how they're prophetic? He was the unleavened bread. He rose on the Feast of First Fruits. The church was born on the Feast of Pentecost. 3 feasts remain in a prophetic fashion. The trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles that have all tremendous significance. Luke, the great historian, has said this, that on the course of Abijah, now we know from 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 10, that was in July. According to the historical markers provided to us by the Talmud and also Josephus, that the first course had just begun when, in August the 5th, 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. It's simple math to go back several years, follow the cycle, and in 3 BC, the course of Abijah would have finished on July the 13th. Okay? The typical human gestation period is 280 days. Now we are getting into speculation. Everybody say speculation. So 13 BC, if Zechariah was finished with his course and ran home with his Barry White album, John could conceivably have been conceived on that day. Let's add 280 days and you come up with April 9th, 2 BC. Is that interesting? Go ahead. Happened to be in that year in 2 BC, Passover. If John the Baptist was born on Passover, what did every Jewish family do on Passover? They set up the Seder dinner. And they always kept an empty chair and an empty place setting for whom? Elijah. Because Malachi 3 says Elijah is going to come and herald the coming of Messiah. And at one specific place in the Seder dinner, the kids race to the front door, open the door, and yell for and look for Elijah. If John the Baptist was born on Passover and the doors of Jerusalem were open, where is Elijah? In the spirit of Elijah, born to potentially Elizabeth, was John the Baptist on that day. Next one. So when did Mary discover that she was pregnant? And the 6th month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth. Okay, so the beginning of the 6th month is going to be 163 days from July the 13th. Did you follow me? So hit the button. John was conception in 13th, 3 BC. Plus 163 days, that equals, go ahead, December the 24th, 3 BC, potentially could be the conception of Jesus. Do you follow me? So with that in mind, Now we're going to add, go ahead and hit the button, we're going to add from December the 24th, 3 BC, we're going to add the typical 280-day gestation period. Who knows? Was he gestated fully at 280 days? We don't know. But if so, it's possible that Jesus was born on, go ahead, September the 29th, 2 BC. If you're keeping track, that's Tishri 1. Jesus might have been born on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. That's a pagan holiday. But I will bet my bottom dollar that Jesus was likely born on one of those feast days. Give or take, if he's born 9 days later, on the 10th of Tishri, he would have been born on the Feast of Atonement. If he was born 14 days after, he would have been born on the Feast of Tabernacles. Have you ever wondered why Jesus was born in Bethlehem specifically? You have to go back to the book of Ruth. If you're watching us on DVD, look at our website, go down and scroll down to Ruth chapter 3 and 4 and listen to our teaching on that. What is Ruth? Did you know that Ruth is read every Shavuot or every Feast of Pentecost? When was the church born? On Pentecost. They don't know it, but they're reading this book called Ruth. What is Ruth? Ruth is a Gentile. Ruth is married or will marry a Jewish nobleman. There's a gal, Naomi. Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, they live in a place called Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. And Bethlehem resides in the county of Judah, which means praise. They lived in the city of Bethlehem, house of bread, in the land of praise, and they got discouraged and they quit and they left. And they go to a place called Moab. Moab, God's word says, Moab is my wash pot. It's my chamber pot. For those of you who don't know what a chamber pot is, it's a potty. So here's Naomi and Elimelech and their two sons. They live in the house of God in the land of praise. They did what they were allowed to do by the law. They leased their land for a certain number of years and split. And they lived in Moab, a place they shouldn't have gone, but they did. And they run into greater hardship. The husband dies. The two sons married Moabite women, but the two sons die. And then you have a lady, their widows, called Orpah, and then Ruth. And then there's Naomi saying, I got nothing. Husband's gone. Sons are gone. Money's gone. I got nothing. Orpah says, well, I'll go with you. Where are you going to go? Well, I'm going to go back to Israel. I'm going to try to see if anybody will help me. So you're going to be homeless. Yeah. Well, then I think I'll stay here, says Orpah. So she kissed Naomi and then left. Ruth clings. I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. And your God will be my God. I got nothing for you, Ruth. I am poor. I am a woman dispossessed of her land. She is a model of Israel. The Gentile woman is Ruth. She follows Naomi back. And then all she could do is get a job doing what the poorest of the poor in Israel could do. You glean the field. It was harvest time, so the reapers would go through, and they were instructed by God's Bible, if you dropped a piece of fruit, some grain, you couldn't pick it up, because the poor people were allowed to glean the land. So she went back, Naomi did, back to Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, there was her land that she used to own, but she leased it out. Sorry, Charlie, you took your inheritance and you left. Nothing for you. So there's Ruth, a Gentile, a Moabite woman, Gentile, gleaning in the fields. And then here comes Boaz. And he says, whoa, you're fine. You are good looking and I like you. He tells the reapers, drop a little extra seed so that Ruth can get some. So she comes back to Naomi. She says, look at all this grain I got. And Naomi says, where were you gleaning? I was gleaning in Boaz's field. Boaz, he is a relative of ours. He is a near kinsman. And Naomi knew what the Bible says. A nearer kinsman can redeem your land for you if he is willing to do so. So how did he look at you? Well, he kind of looked at me like... And so she goes, oh, this could work, this could work. So she gives him some certain instructions, and at one point she says, go down to the place where they gather, and once they harvest all the grain and they put it in a warehouse, he's going to be sleeping by the grain, which means by his bank account. He worked hard to get all this stuff, and he's not going to let anybody steal it. So he's going to be sleeping and exhausted. When you go there, I want you to take and uncover his feet. Now, some people say, I mean, is she trying to seduce him? No, she is not. She's being very honorable. Have you ever short-sheeted yourself at night and your tootsies are hanging out in the cold? What do you always do? You wake up. Just uncover his feet. And he will wake up and you will be seated at his feet in a place of subjugation and under his authority. What does Boaz do? Why are you giving me this honor, he says. And he takes his cloak, the hem of his garment, which signified his authority, and he covers her. What is he saying? I will have you as my wife. He goes to the city council. He finds that there is a nearer kinsman. Do you want to redeem the field of Naomi? He says, yes. Ooh, tough deal here because there's also somebody attached. It's a Gentile woman named Ruth. He says, uh-uh. Can't handle it because if I have to marry her because she's a Gentile, our sons would not be ceremonial or Levitically clean. I'm not going to mess up my inheritance. You take her. Now, by the way, who is Boaz's mom? Anybody remember? Rahab, the harlot from Jericho. Boaz is all, it's not going to mess up my inheritance. My inheritance is already messed up. I am an illegitimate son, so to speak, because my mom is Rahab the harlot. I will take you, Ruth. What a story. Ruth is a Gentile bride. The Jewish nobleman has fallen hopelessly in love with her and will redeem her land and thereby redeem her and legitimize her in the law of Moses. It's a picture of the bride of Christ. Ruth would have never met Boaz had it not been for Naomi. Naomi would have never felt the full benefit of Boaz had it not been for Ruth. Do you see how it's one picture after the other? Israel showed us, the Gentiles, the way to a holy God, and praise his name for that. They kept the Bible pure. We are going to be, what the Bible says, causing the Jews to become jealous. Because why do you guys have such a love and a personal relationship with the Lord? And there will come a time when, as a nation, the Jewish people will receive Jesus as Messiah. And the Bible says, you got to see this. Go to the book of Ruth, everybody. You might go a few minutes over, you guys. It is so cool, your Bible. So cool. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Here's why. Right after the book of Joshua, right before Samuel. Look at chapter 4. So now, what did Boaz do? He redeems Naomi's land. Naomi is no longer homeless. Naomi has been redeemed back to her land in Bethlehem. And as a part of that, he takes to his bride, Ruth, the Gentile bride. And a glorious celebration happens. Verse 10. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahalalel, that was Naomi's son, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through the inheritance, the name of Naomi's husband, actually. Skip down to Verse 11, and all the people who are at the gate when this transaction takes place, it's done. And the elders said, we are witnesses. This marriage, this redemption is finished. And the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, These were the moms of the 12 sons of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's pretty good. The two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephphratah. What is that? That's Bethlehem. And be famous in Bethlehem. Let me ask you, is Bethlehem famous? May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring. And then it says verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. And I wish I had time to show you that very likely this wedding took place on Shavuot, the feast of Pentecost, the marriage of the Jewish nobleman to the Gentile bride very likely took place on Pentecost. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception and she bore a son. Skip down to verse 17. Also the neighbor woman gave him a name saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Is it Naomi's son? It's Ruth's son. But remember the clause we looked at in Numbers? Is it accounted to her? And they called his name Obed. This is the son of Ruth and Boaz. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Who is David? The king of the Jews. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Remember how I told you how Boaz, because his mother was Gentile, is not permitted Levitically to go into the house of the Lord? Under Perez, in chapter 4, verse 18, write number 1. Begot Hezron, number 2. Hezron begot Ram, number 3. Ram begot Amminadab, number 4. And then Amminadab begot Nahshon, number 5. Nahshon begot Salmon, 6. Salmon is Boaz's father. Salmon is who marries Rahab, the harlot of Jericho. That's number 6. Salmon begot Boaz, number 7. Boaz begot Obed, number 8. Obed begot Jesse, number 9. And Jesse begot David, number 10. Perez to David is 10 generations. And don't forget Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. A bastard son shall not enter into the congregation until the 10th generation. David is the 10th generation from Perez. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? And why, when the emperor gave the decree to go back to your hometown, why did Mary and why did Joseph go to Bethlehem? Because they are descended from David. And it's my bet that when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the fields, guess what fields those shepherds were in? Boaz and Ruth's field. Now you say, come on, Steve, you can't say that. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'll bet you $1 million they were, though. Prove me wrong. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, it was a scholastic endeavor tonight to some degree, but I pray that by your Spirit, you have shown us the precision of your word. The virgin birth was not just prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 7. It was prophesied in Genesis 3 that the seed of a woman, that can't happen. The woman can't have a seed without the man. It was the Holy Spirit foreshadowing the virgin birth. And then, Lord, the enemy tried like crazy to unseat and make null and void God's word and go after every opportunity he could to spoil the bloodline. But as always, Lord, you are way ahead of the game. And when the enemy thought that he had had the bloodline spoiled through Solomon, you did the deal, Lord God, where the bloodline actually comes through Mary, yet still with the full rights and authority of full inheritance. Blessed be your name, God. And we thank you, Lord God, that very likely Jesus Christ was born in the fall. And very likely, Jesus, you were likely born on one of the last prophetic feasts. Perhaps it was trumpets. Perhaps it was atonement. Perhaps it was tabernacles. All that is to say, Lord, let man be a liar and let God's word be true. We thank you for this amazing Bible in Jesus' name, Lord. And all the freshly educated seminarians said, amen.
listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.